our Lord's resurrection. Witnesses to our Lord's resurrection. Brother John.
Thank you, Brother Dan. I appreciated the hymn playing of Sister Julie this morning in that hymn. It's a blessing for Sister Chrissy and me to visit you today and share in Christian truth and fellowship. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That was recorded in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It's a most comforting promise to us and encouraging to our ecclesia gatherings and activities. With the passing of Sister Bobby Yost this past week, it brings special joy to reflect on the memories of dear ones from the Hartford Ecclesia that have gone on before. Think of Brother Tony Latina, Sister Lois Latina, Sister Bobby Yost this week. We think of Brother Lou Priest, Brother John Yaneski, Sister Lucy Berardi. Remember the scripture, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Psalm 116, verse 15. We mourn with those that mourn, and we extend our sympathies to the Hartford friends here. We bring you the Christian love of your brethren in the New Haven Ecclesia. They voted last Sunday to be remembered today. Sister Laura Kelsey is a frequent traveler with us to the studies, and she's been able to attend again since January. She's doing fairly well following some surgery that she had back in November. And one interesting development was last week she had a resident from her Meadowbrook retirement home who came with her to the study. So it was kind of a nice tribute to her witness activities that he requested a chance to come and listen to our studies in New Haven. We don't know how the Lord will overrule that, but it was nice and kind of a tribute to her character that this individual asked if they could come to our studies. So that was a nice experience last Sunday, and hopefully he said he'd like to come again next Sunday when we're back in town. Friends, we live in times which can be very distracting to the new creature. We aspire to the goal identified by Apostle Paul. "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Since mid-June of last year, we've picked up some mental baggage, which it might do well to banish from our active memory cells and refresh our minds with wisdom from the scriptures. On June 12th of last year, two individuals were murdered in Los Angeles, California, and sports figure O.J. Simpson has been charged with a crime and has recently come to trial. Personally, I'm embarrassed that I was caught up by the tragedy. Perhaps you have not been so distracted. This morning, I'd like to suggest that we push this O.J. Simpson distraction into some back file of our memory and replace it with profitable memories of our risen Lord Jesus during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascent unto, quote, "my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God," John chapter 20, verse 17. It's been a common theme recently for us to study our Lord's memorial, our privileges of participation, and his triumphant resurrection, as Brother Dan mentioned. This year, today, we're 14 days past the resurrection, if we were in, say, the year of the Lord, just comparably parallel. 14 days past the resurrection. So it's a timely subject for us to examine the 11 manifestations of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, in the 40 days following his resurrection. So like today, we'd be like the 14th day if it were past his resurrection. Thinking in terms of 40 days, what kind of activities went on and what kind of lessons occurred during those 40 days are going to be the theme of our comments. We'll bounce between the Gospels, the Acts, and 1 Corinthians to give the proper sequence of his appearances in those 40 days. Scripturally, we'll start by reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 39, and go into chapter 16. Okay, if you have it, Mark 15, verse 39 begins the comments. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Now, one comment is that that term ghost is merely an old English term meaning he died. Continuing on in verse 40, there were also women looking on afar off. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome. Verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now, when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of that Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. The rest of this chapter is spurious. In this episode, let us note the faithfulness and devotion of Mary Magdalene, Mary, Salome, and, quote, the other women, both at the crucifixion site and at the sepulcher. In verse 3, we see that very promptly they were preparing to anoint him with spices, yet they were not logically constrained by the sealed sepulcher. These were very tender, devoted hearts, perhaps most open to the early revelation of his resurrection. In addition to the women, we also look at Joseph of Arimathea. In quickly approaching Pilate, he was bold and courageous. Joseph of Arimathea was willing to serve, buying the linen, wrapping the body, sealing the sepulcher. Joseph of Arimathea was willing to sacrifice this garden tomb for the first time it was being used. Joseph of Arimathea was not fearful of the scribes and Pharisees who would learn of his actions. So in this episode, we have some good examples between the women and Joseph of Arimathea early on, before they're even aware that Jesus has been resurrected, when the first message is starting to go out. In this difficult period after the crucifixion, a very most confusing time for them, it's a witness how these characters reacted appropriately and were very well-intentioned. Next, let's turn to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. In verses 1 through 10 of John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene separated from the other women, Mary, Salome, Joanna, and runs with the news to Peter and John. Peter and John, convinced by Mary Magdalene's comments, run to the sepulchre to examine for themselves. They look in, enter, and their curiosity is aroused. Reprint 2477 mentions that John believed, yet no doubt with much confusion of thought at first. So Peter and John then went back home with this episode in their mind. Then we'll continue to read of Jesus' activities in his first manifestation. This will be his first manifestation to Mary Magdalene as a gardener. The time is Sunday morning early, the day of the resurrection. Let's continue in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. John 20, 11 through 18. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast taken him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. In review of these verses, we note the faithfulness of Mary Magdalene. She was obedient. She was persistent. This is her second visit back to that sepulchre early Sunday morning. We note that she was weeping from the loss of the fellowship of Jesus, and she feels the responsibility to anoint his body with the sweet spices that originally all the women wanted to do. In verse 15, we note that Jesus appeared in this first manifestation as a gardener. This is the first of various forms that he took. No longer was he the man Christ Jesus, rather a spiritual being manifesting himself discreetly to further educate his followers. Verse 17, the key message from Jesus to Mary Magdalene is, Go to my brethren and tell them of the news. She's the first witness, the first manifestation of his resurrection. Now let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. Just two verses now for the second manifestation. Matthew 28, 9 and 10. Matthew 28, 9 and 10. This manifestation is the second manifestation to the women who perhaps were separated from Mary Magdalene, returning from the sepulchre. They went to some of the other disciples. The time is Sunday morning, early the day of the resurrection. Matthew 28, verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, verse 8 tells us they were actually running to tell his disciples. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So we assume that this destination might have been a little bit farther away than the distance that Mary Magdalene went to get John and Peter after the episode at the sepulchre. Well, who were these women? Who were these individuals? Mark 16:1 indicated that Mary was one. It also mentioned that Salome was another. And in Luke 24:10, we have Joanna identified as an additional woman who was appeared in this manifestation by Jesus. How did Jesus appear? Well, we're unsure of his appearance he took here. Perhaps, again, it was his voice that convinced them such that they fell prostrate. We saw Mary Magdalene reacting to Jesus when she heard his voice. Perhaps, again, it was in this case that the voice identified Jesus to them. We don't know what appearance he took. It doesn't say that he was a gardener or a traveler. We're not sure. Why did Jesus appear to them? Well, his message was probably the reason why. The message was, "Go tell my brethren." Galilee is again foreshadowed. First by the angel in the sepulchre, now by Jesus here to the women in Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10. That's the second manifestation. So far, you'll notice none of the apostles or disciples have been having a manifestation by Jesus. Let's turn now to one scripture to pinpoint from a chronological standpoint the third manifestation. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 34. It's just one scripture. It's in a bigger context, which we will shortly read, but we want to zero in for a chronological point of view on the third manifestation. Luke 24, 34. In the context, it says, "Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." This third manifestation occurs to Peter sometime on Sunday afternoon in Jerusalem, the day of the resurrection. It gets mentioned later that day, that Sunday evening, when the apostles are gathered together in the upper room. It's confirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:5. We don't have too much detail on this manifestation, yet recall that when the four women were with the angel in the sepulchre, specifically singled out was Peter in the scripture in Mark 16, verse 7. Peter was singled out for the news, perhaps to ready him for that Sunday afternoon's appearance in Jerusalem. Note, Peter and John went to the sepulchre with Mary Magdalene early Sunday and found it empty. This is the first appearance to an apostle. The experience of Peter seeing the manifestation of Jesus sometime on Sunday afternoon in Jerusalem. The fourth manifestation, we'll back up a little bit in Luke. This is to a greater audience than what we've seen so far. This is the fourth manifestation. In this manifestation, the education of the disciples continues. Jesus appears as a traveler to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Sunday afternoon, the day of the resurrection. This is a familiar citation. Luke 24 will start at 13 and go all the way down to 35. And behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? Verse 19, And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to one another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and promptly returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, where it was saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. In this episode, the fourth manifestation to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, we see that Jesus took on a new form in verse 16. This was a traveler. He was not the man Jesus Christ, or he was not the gardener that he took on the impression of earlier. We note in verse 17 that he had a very gentle introduction to these two disciples. It says, And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So it's a very gentle introduction that Jesus gives to these two disciples. One of the disciples is identified as Cleopas in verse 18. We don't know the name of the other disciple. Verse 19, Cleopas signals that he has some very strong devotion to Jesus. Verse 19, it says, And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. It shows a great degree of trust and devotion there in those comments. Verse 21, these disciples are reasoning to themselves, and now it mentions about that third day. It's starting to sink in that foretold circumstance that's taught in Matthew 16:21 that he would be resurrected on the third day. So it's really the rationale is starting to develop in their minds. They're starting to reason it through in this travel that they're going on to Emmaus. Verse 24, they mention certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre. That was speaking of the episode of Peter and John's visit to the sepulchre that morning. Next, in verse 25 through 29, we have a very dramatic episode of where Jesus convincingly reasons with them. He starts off pretty abruptly after they had done their reasoning. In verse 25, he says, Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. So They had reasoned as far as they could go. Now it was time to get to the meat of the matter, and he had to redirect the conversation and give them these proofs to prove to them. In verse 30, we see that the key to identifying Jesus was in his blessing and breaking of bread. After they have the experience with this fourth manifestation of Jesus, the disciples promptly turn around and head right back to Jerusalem, where they share the news this Sunday evening with the other apostles and disciples and believers. They rejoice, they bring the message back, and they, at this point, learn of the third manifestation that occurred to Peter that same afternoon. Let's go on to the fifth manifestation. We'll turn to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. This fifth manifestation is when Jesus appears to the 10 disciples in the upper room. The doors are locked. It's in Jerusalem. Most probably it's the location of the memorial and that Last Supper. And the date is Sunday evening, the day of the resurrection. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. We notice that the doors are shut, but yet as a spirit being, Jesus is able to appear and disappear to this congregation. Verse 20, And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples were glad at this point. His progressive manifestations this day had readied them for this episode. So their emotions were, they were glad. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. This verse 22 is not the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit that they received at Pentecost. It is really an expression of some of the blessing that he had received from the Holy Spirit he's sharing with them. So this is not the full measure of the Holy Spirit that they were to receive later. Verse 23, Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, note, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus was not visibly present when Thomas said this. So keep that in mind. Jesus was not present when Thomas said this to the other disciples. This is a little bit after this episode at the end of the day, at the end of the fifth manifestation. Let's now wait about 8 days and consider the sixth manifestation. This is in John chapter 20. Continuing with verses 26 through 29, the episode that focuses on Thomas. Here Jesus appears to the 11 disciples in the upper room, again with locked doors, Sunday evening, 8 days later. Verse 26, And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Reprint 56:25 mentions that the fact that the Lord gave Thomas the desired evidence was an indication that he did not disapprove of his demand for more convincing demonstration than the others. The same reprint article mentions that this was not the body crucified and buried, but a materialized body with the same facial expressions, the same hands, the same feet that the human body of Jesus had. It's important in this episode that Jesus accommodate this request, because unless the disciples really believed, they could not do the work that was yet before them. Reprint 52:37 mentions that afterward, the brethren were obliged to believe without seeing, merely on the testimony of others. At this time, we have the aid of the Holy Spirit. Possibly 3 weeks will go by between the sixth manifestation and the seventh. The apostles returned to Galilee at some point, which was in harmony with a few of the comments made earlier, in Mark 16:7 and Matthew 28:10, where there was a foreshadowing that Jesus would meet them in Galilee. The seventh manifestation is when Jesus appears at the Sea of Galilee, and he calls out to the seven fishermen and dines with them with bread and fresh fish. Let's turn to John chapter 21, verses 1 through 24. John 21, 1 through 24. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They saith unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. We notice that we have the question, did they lose hope? Here they reestablished the fishing business. Here they had tremendous experiences with Jesus. They trust that he has been resurrected. But after 8 days, they returned to Galilee and they reestablished their fishing business. One comment is that in reprint 940, our Lord gave his instructions little by little, not hastily, in such a manner as to make the deepest impressions. He let them sort it out during this period of 40 days, progressive, just as much information as they needed to really develop the character and understanding that they needed. Verse 4, But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. They previously had an episode like this back in Luke 5, 1 through 11. Their first occurrence with Jesus was in the catching of fish, you'll remember. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded up his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. This Peter, it's something to think about, that he's so impetuous that he dives right into the water. After 3 weeks of not seeing him, he's overflowed with love, yet constantly, this character, the impetuosity of Peter, was a great disadvantage to him. But we see it still in action here at the Sea of Galilee. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but were, as it were, 200 cubits. So Peter is swimming toward the shore, and the other disciples followed by boat, dragging the net with the fishes. Verse 9, As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet not the net was broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again, the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Verse 18. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, "Follow me." And Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Meaning John. Said this to our Lord at the Last Supper. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man," meaning John, "do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went the saying abroad amongst the brethren that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. The last verse is spurious. So in this sixth manifestation we saw focused on Thomas. The seventh, although it has many disciples there, really focuses on Peter. Three times Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, and his response is, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and also follow me," is the admonition as well in this situation. We recall that likewise three times Peter denied Jesus in Caiaphas' palace. Quite a humbling conversation here between Peter with Jesus. Gentle rebukes from Jesus to Peter. Now the eighth manifestation is to a large group as well. This eighth manifestation occurs in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So these individuals were witnesses to our Lord's resurrection, and here's the reason so that they can be witnesses to others after they have the Holy Spirit. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." As a comment, we notice that he went without splendor, without demonstration, without commotion, or without noise. That's how he left. That's how the angel is saying he will come again. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." With that, we end the 11 manifestations of Jesus in the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. Let's try and identify some of the reasons. What were the purpose of these 40 days? First, we see that slowly he proved to them the fact of his resurrection, that the Messiah was alive. Didn't do it quick. He did it over the span of 40 days. He did it progressively so that they could reason it through themselves and appreciate the importance of this development. Second, it gave evidence to his spirit nature. These 11 manifestations gave evidence to his spirit nature. the way that he presented himself, the appearance he took on. This was no longer the man Christ Jesus. Third purpose of these 40 days was to confirm his personal identity, notwithstanding a change of nature. This was Jesus' personal identity that they experienced. Fourth, very important, it was a witness to approximately 540 followers. It gave them conviction for the days and challenges that were ahead without the Master physically being with them. Fifth, it readied them for Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, which would advance their understanding. Sixth, it was manifested primarily to the brethren. It was not manifested to the world at large. So that was one of the purposes of the 40 days, to specifically target the brethren. Seventh, Pastor Russell points out, it let them experience his predominantly invisible appearance during these 40 days. We had 40 days while this all occurred. Perhaps he was visible to his followers 12 hours out of those 40 days. So he was invisible with them for 39 and a half days out of those 40 days. During this period, his presence was primarily invisible, but yet he was able to hear the things that Thomas was saying. He was able to act as a spirit. So this 40 days was primarily invisible. Only 11 times did Jesus manifest in a physical appearance to them. Volume 2, page 121, sums up this episode very nicely. It says, "Thus was the faith of the apostles and of the early church established in the fact of the Lord's resurrection. Their doubts were scattered, their hearts rejoiced, and they returned to Jerusalem and continued in prayer and supplication and study of the scriptures, waiting for the adoption promised by the Father, and their endowment with spiritual understanding, and with the special miraculous gifts of power to enable them to convince true Israelites and to establish the gospel church at the day of Pentecost." So we have quite a bit of activity in these 40 days following Jesus' resurrection. Many lessons were given to the apostles. These were lessons that they could not have understood before his resurrection. But now the time was appropriate. A lot was happening during these 40 days, and we see that the next step was the giving of the Holy Spirit, which further enabled them to carry out the mission of the gospel church. So at this time of the year, we've just come through the study of the memorial. We've rejoiced greatly in the resurrection of our Lord and risen Master. It's nice to think of the 40 days that followed his resurrection and see that that time was well administered to in the wisdom of our Heavenly Father through the activities of our Lord Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing.